This episode of the Offbeat Agent podcast contains sounds of insects from my yard. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Offbeat Agent podcast. It's a little different today. We're going to do this from the backyard. From Westerville, Ohio. Is that me doxing myself? I don't know. You guys can probably easily find me on the internet if you really needed to. I am in the back of my property, my yard, at my house. And near me is the garden I spent a lot of time on this year that if you wanted to see video of, you could go to my Instagram at offbeatagent because there's quite a bit of video of it since when I first started it a couple years ago when we bought this house, which included digging out a section of former driveway that was in the yard, so it was like gravel deep down in the ground. I found gravel as deep as 12 inches in the ground. It was enough gravel to cover the entire perimeter of my fence to prevent animals from coming under my fence. I dug all that out so I could make an asparagus patch. I dug a similar patch behind it, but then decided to raise it so I didn't have to dig all that and get all the gravel for strawberries behind that. And we have several more things have been added with lots of different tomatoes, all kinds of stuff, because honestly I'm trying to hone my garden skills for when eventually my wife and I, and probably my son, will go mobile and sell this house, most likely on the next upcycle of real estate, because I think we've hit that peak. There's going to be a little gap or slow down, maybe even prices declining a little bit. And then when the economy speeds back up and they start lending at a more reasonable interest rate, then we'll sell this thing. Maybe establish a homestead somewhere. I don't know if I want to do a homestead or not. I kind of want to do some type of larger farming operation. But I don't want it to be like all-consuming of my life. So I think it would need to be somewhat cooperative with other people who are also farming nearby. It is August. It has been a long time since I have recorded for the podcast. There's been a lot of obstacles in my way. I was very ambitious in thinking that I could do a weekly podcast, a weekly YouTube video, continue to make content regularly during the summertime when my son becomes the time priority. Being a curator of child experiences, I feel, is my biggest role as a parent. And all experiences, positive and negative, because we have to be aware of how we affect them. It's hard to be a parent. Everyone knows it's hard to be a parent because no matter what you're doing, you're fucking it up in some way, shape, or form. You can read all the books there are, and you're going to get some of it very, very wrong. So just acknowledge the imperfection of trying to raise another human being and do your best. In the garden, one thing I'm really excited about, back to garden life, is my Brussels sprouts that I got from my friend Erica Sirianni. She gifted me some stuff that wouldn't fit in her garden, and they are getting big, and I've never grown Brussels sprouts before. And if you don't know what Brussels sprouts look like when they grow, you can, like I said, go to the Instagram and you'll see video of them at Offbeat Agent. But they grow this really long stalk, and it kind of looks like a broccoli stalk, but gets very tall. The leaves get large, like kale, or I guess more like collard greens is what they look like, but they curl. And then in the little armpits of all of those branches that those leaves are on form the Brussels sprouts. So once it's fully grown, it looks fucking ridiculous. Like, you probably have seen a Brussels sprout in the wild. I had not. So it was rather interesting to Google what it looks like when it's full grown. I might need to stake something up so that it can actually stand up straight, because right now they're so heavy they're falling over. I don't know if that's okay or not. Probably not because of the sun. But most of my yard gets a fair amount of sun. Back to just escaping. Just escaping where we are. I live in Ohio. I'm not sure if I want to stay in a place like Ohio, but I'm not sure if I want to move to a more liberal place, because generally with that comes some increased cost. And I would like to see as much of this country and as many of the cities that I cover on my shows as possible. I have a long list of cities now that I'm super, super anxious to visit. One that just came up, and I don't even know why suddenly this is like top of my list, but Watertown, Maine. Because I ended up following the mayor on TikTok, and he had some positive things to say that I liked. And it also was a town that's not, I wouldn't move there because it's just too much snow. There's 77 inches of snow per year, but it's a town that's not growing in population. So moving there wouldn't fuck someone over. It's gained over the last 12 years, I think, like 200 people. And it's, I think, 17 or 18,000 people large. But south of it is Augusta, and it's a little bit more of a, I wouldn't say metropolitan area, but between the two, it's kind of considered probably a metropolitan area. It's been an interesting summer. If you are in the buying and selling of real estate phase of your life, if you have a property to sell, or if you want to buy a property, oh, hey. I love it. See, that's what I love about recording outdoors, is all the things that are really happen and you hear it. That is a plane going into Columbus International Airport, which is about, I would say, 9-10 miles away, maybe 12, to our southeast, or south directly, really. But the real estate market has been interesting, and I think this has been long overdue. We went from when interest rates increased over the summer, in June into July, we start to see things slow down a little bit, and that means the volume of people coming to see homes and the amount of offers that were being received on the homes. So we were still seeing multiple offers up until July, and I mean, still seeing multiple offers now on some properties and some neighborhoods. You just get to hear all of the outdoor stuff. But we went from seeing 12 offers on every property for the most part to seeing maybe 2 or 3, sometimes up to 5 in the better neighborhoods. But people still were competing all summer, so they're still pretty aggressive on their offering. But I have in that time been able to take advantage of properties that were sitting on the market for multiple days, because when the shift happens and things go from being very, very seller-friendly to start being a little bit more buyer-friendly, the agents that list homes and the sellers start to freak the fuck out. And that's because they've been so used to everyone's home selling over multiple offers, over list price, with all kinds of concessions and waived inspections and things, to a more negotiating environment. So and to make sense of that, before, when people were winning offers in the spring, a lot of them had to do as a contingency waiver. They could not ask for any repairs from the seller, and it had to be written into the contract. And in some instances, it got so competitive that the winning offer waived the inspection entirely, which I'd never recommend. But, you know, if you know what you're doing when it comes to a house and understand how to look for what's wrong and what's fine, just needing upgraded later, then waiving your inspection, you know, you're taking on quite a bit of liability. An inspection is going to catch things that help you figure out what you need to pay for in the future and what might be dangerous. But anyway, inspections were being waived in the spring because there was 15 offers on a property and all kinds of different things like that. Now we're able to, and home warranties, you couldn't get a seller to pay for a home warranty, which we used to be able to do in this area in central Ohio. But now you're able to ask for the seller to pay for a home warranty again. You're able to ask for an inspection period with the potential to ask for repairs. And the last few properties I have had have required some level of repair or credit because the buyer had more of an advantage than they did a few months ago, just because the demand is cooling off a little bit. When the interest rates get where they are, it just makes the monthly payment too expensive for some people, and then they no longer qualify for the amount they had qualified for before. But if you want that part explained, it's best to talk to your local mortgage lender. And if you are interested in just seeing one, I recommend looking for Ian Eichelberger on TikTok and Instagram. He was the person who did my mortgage, and I know he's on social media, so you can check him out. Ian Eichelberger. Anyway, we are just chilling, drinking a coffee. My lawn furniture was moved to the back of my property by my son because he decided he wanted to play his 3DS out here in nature, as he put it, which is kind of why I'm here. I'm between two compost bins that are about 30 feet from each other and near some potatoes that I planted and corn that I totally fucking failed at. So we grew great corn, it was gigantic, but we did not pick it at the right time, apparently. So all of it tasted like chalky, milky shit. I don't know why. Sweet corn in Ohio is supposed to be amazing, but I'm not a true Ohioan, I guess, because I grew it unsuccessfully. But we do have like volunteer pumpkins, so that's kind of neat, growing amongst everything else. The market is so boring. Like, real estate's so boring in general. That's why I don't really like talking about it a whole lot. People say what they want to say about it. When it really comes down to it, we don't have enough homes for the amount of people. And we continue to not remedy that problem. We can do everything we want about giving people grants, which the Biden administration is working on for people that can't afford down payments and closing costs and, you know, whatever else would go into purchasing a home. But that's not solving the problem that we're not building enough homes. That's not solving the problem that resale properties are being bought up by people who are not living in them. There should be an incredible incentive for owner occupancy, and there should be an incredible deterrent for corporations specifically. I'm not talking about mom and pops that buy one property, although that's also a fucking problem. But I'm on both sides with that one, because I can see trying to better your financial future for your children, but I can't see building an empire when it's really affecting that many people. Like these guys that brag about, I've got 300 doors, you know, unless you own just apartment buildings, go fuck yourself. Stay out of single family. There's too much. It was like 25% of single-family homes purchased in 2021 were purchased by investors who don't intend to live in them. When we're not building any homes, that's incredibly detrimental to the balance of people being able to own versus rent. The only opposing viewpoint I would have to that is, is this corporate asshole correct? Do people just, they're so transient, they want to move so many places that home ownership is prohibitive? I mean, that would make sense for some, but I think that millennials, from what I've read and what I feel I've understood talking to them, want a lot of the things that the boomer generation had, like a home and, you know, a boat. And then a vacation property in some nice place or something like that. But then I think there's a lot out of necessity now, including me, not a millennial at all. I think my wife is an elder millennial. I'm Gen X, I'm sorry. I want that life. I want to like live remotely. I want to have a homestead where I don't have to pay a lot of property taxes, but then I can donate to local schools directly, or, you know, do something to contribute in a positive way. I want a place that I can grow food for more than just my family and provide it to the community in any way I can, maybe sell a little bit of it in farmers markets and more bougie-ass places to offset the expense. I see, I get it. I don't even know if stopping institutional investors from purchasing residential properties is the solution. What's interesting, though, is not only are pre-owned resale 50-year-old houses going to institutional investors, but new builds are also being built and going directly to institutional investors. I'm actually more okay with that because it's not taking a home away from the supply of owner-occupant homes for sale. My dog is eyeballing me from the corner of the yard in a shady spot behind the compost bin, like I'm being a jerk for not letting her inside in the 73-degree heat. She's gonna be okay. So today's episode is really just this. I do want to take a moment to talk about what's happening in Columbus with the teacher strike. You can look up Columbus, Ohio teacher strike if you want to find out more information. But I was down there yesterday at the location in Linden where they were striking, the corner of Cleveland Avenue and Westerville Road, trying to bring some relief to the workers with some food, and did a live stream on my TikTok, and eventually got inundated with Trump trolls, including one whose statement was, "Thanks for telling me where that is. I'll be down there shortly with a pipe bomb." Is actually something someone really said on my TikTok live stream. And the Trump trolls, I was in the middle of talking to people there at the event, and so I really couldn't manage it. I couldn't assign an admin or assign a moderator to the chat, and eventually the Trump trolls mass reported me until they banned my live. Because I was at a strike for the Columbus teachers. They're striking primarily because of the unfit conditions of several of the schools in the district. And you can also see that on TikTok, or you can see that on Reddit. If you go to the Columbus Reddit and look at some of the videos that have been posted showing just ongoing leaks every time it rains, mold in classrooms and in ventilation systems, temperatures as low as 50 degrees in the classroom in the wintertime, temperatures as high as 91 degrees in the classroom in the summertime. You know, no kid should have to deal with that. I know that some of us did growing up in shitty old schools. But even in my rural ass school of Burn Union Elementary School in Sugar Grove, Ohio, we had those things. We were warm enough and cool enough. So I don't see why a district that has $400 million it's waiting to spend can't just knock that out, like, before school starts. And of course, teacher pay is part of it as well. Like I said, make sure you look up the information yourself. Don't just take my fucking asshole opinion about it. I am glad to pay into property taxes that go toward the schools. I know some people feel it's unconstitutional because there's been cases about it in the Ohio courts, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with making things better, and I have to understand that I don't have control of how my money is spent. We can just hope for the best when it comes to that shit, because unfortunately, in all types of systems like this, there are going to be some levels of inefficiency that you're just going to have to tolerate. You're never going to be able to put your money into a collective system where the money gets distributed exactly the way you want it to. And I think that some people get really frustrated by that. And I understand that. That's why, I mean, even for ourselves, when I was talking about moving away to some place in the country, with some property, hopefully a mountain or a lake to look at. Just like right now, I'm staring at the back of my house and I'm listening to bugs and things, and it's still soothing, but I would like a mountain lake or nearby ocean or intercoastal, because then we're going to be trying to reduce our monthly expenses, which include property taxes, of course. And there's some states in the United States where you can have, say, 40 acres of land and a homestead, but not a regular, like, brick-and-mortar house, and your taxes will be exempt. And then we could turn around and take whatever thousands of dollars that would have been and directly contribute it to our most local school, even if our child wasn't going there. Because those funds, then we could say, we want this used for this. I really want a baseball stadium, like Offbeat Stadium or something. Not like a major league sports stadium, but like in Newport, Tennessee, you know, rebuild the Newport, Tennessee baseball stadium and just make up a ridiculous name for it. Not even call it something, you know, based on me. Just be like Mountain Holler Stadium or Mountain Dew Stadium. I don't know what we would call it. Newport, Tennessee, by the way, is somewhere that I have friends who live and is one of those places that a lot of people talk shit about because of it being kind of podunk, not a big town, not real affluent, and I love it. Secretly love it. I lived in Cosby near it, and in like 2009, 2010, and there was a certain, like, I mean, granted, I'm a cis white person, so I blend in pretty well there. All I got to do is change the way I talk a little bit. But I liked it. I liked the vibe. The only thing I didn't like was the cell service, and the only thing my wife didn't like was trying to drive on snowy-ass mountain roads, which we did definitely get stuck. We lived in a cabin up on a hill at like 1,400 feet, and the driveway was ridiculous to get to this place. So, we definitely got stuck once, for sure. And this is when I learned that people that move from Florida to Tennessee, because whatever reason, they're just trying to get mountains in their life, don't know how to build a driveway. Because they'll build that shit straight up the mountain. And then, without fail, they will slide all the way down that thing, straight into the ravine. Just in living in that Cove Hollow Road area in Cosby, Tennessee, I witnessed some rich asshole that I was told was relocated from Florida with his F-350 about 50 feet of trees into a ravine, completely totaled. I like Tennessee. Got a friend there. He's got a farm pond. He's probably one of the people that I feel like if he could ever tolerate my presence for more than a week, I would live near for the rest of my life. And yes, I'm talking about Mr. Jason Smith, Mr. Grady Ray, all day. One of the most amazing families I've ever met up in Newport, Tennessee. But they've got, he has land and his family out in the mountains, and the very first place my son ever caught a fish was in his pond, and it was like a 2-pound bass, which is a really awesome first fish to catch for a child on his little Spider-Man fishing pole. I mean, let's face it. We all want to do something positive for other people, right? Don't we? Is that the fundamental difference here? Is there some people out there that actually don't want to do anything positive for anyone else? They don't want to create any positive experiences. They don't want to contribute to the happiness of someone else. They don't want to give them anything they need in a time of need. Is that the case? Are we getting overrun with people that are just so selfish that if they had enough food for their family and maybe just a hair more, that they would just keep it for their family and not give that to their neighbor who was hungry? Is that what makes me some type of bleeding heart capitalist asshole? Because in case you were not aware, the overall opinion of me on the internet, which matters in no way to me, is that I am both a libtard, cuck, communist, but also a capitalist pig piece of shit, just depending on who you talk to. I think I'm kind of right in the middle of that. I'm like literally a bleeding heart capitalist, where I understand the negative outcomes of capitalism and really concern myself with trying to make sure that those things are mitigated as best as possible or balanced out through monetary spending on my part. However, I really like fucking HelloFresh, you know? I love some of the conveniences and problem-solving ideas that have come through capitalism. You know, I mean, I hate the fact that HelloFresh means I gotta throw a big-ass box away every week or whatever and then figure out what to do with that bag of gel. What the fuck do you do with that? Like, throwing it in the trash can, I feel like a fucking monster. I feel like I'm Mr. Beast, like, filling something with Orbeez and then just sticking it out for motherfuckers to try to toss into a truck, and then without fail, at some point, the bag rips open and there's these little fucking whatever balls that are inside those HelloFresh boxes to keep them cool, just spread all over the fucking road, and this guy's like, God damn it, that's the fourth HelloFresh bag that's broken today. What the fuck? You know? I love DoorDash. You know, I'll pay a ridiculously extra amount to get food from a place that doesn't normally deliver. I love to do it at open houses, like barbecue or some shit. Sure, it's $28 when the shit only costs $12. But not having to drive somewhere and try to figure out how long you gotta wait for the food and all that happy horse shit comes at a price. Like, capitalism sometimes makes me fucking happy. But we need to figure out what to do to keep capitalism from making so many people so fucking sad. This would be completely ironic if this whole time I wasn't even recording. Looks like 28 minutes. But this is where I feel like in my show, and now I do want to also foreshadow a few things that are coming up. I've started a Reddit talk every Friday night at 9 p.m., so I'll promote that. So we have a new guest every Friday. I will inject at the end of this podcast the schedule of who's coming up and the dates and what we'll be talking about for the most part. I have someone in consumer advocacy and real estate who's going to be on this coming week. I'll release the info at the end of the broadcast today, as I mentioned. Also, coming up after that will be one of the city council members from Wheeling, West Virginia, who was most recently elected. So, just kind of talking about things to do with West Virginian stereotypes and how they are working to combat that and create a different image of the communities, because there are many affordable communities in West Virginia. So I wanted to start bringing that stuff into the podcast too. So it'll be on the live on Friday nights on my Reddit. Offbeat Agent, of course, is my Reddit. They're letting me now broadcast directly from my profile. So all you have to do is go to my profile on the Reddit app and you'll be able to listen in on the broadcast directly from your phone. Or you could do it from your computer, whatever. And then I will take chunks of those Friday nights and they will become part of this podcast. So this is going to come out before I start doing that. but because I'm just trying to put an episode out where I give you some updates about what's going on, what I've been doing, and give you a heads up about what's coming up in the future. That is, I'm going to be back to working on the YouTube later this afternoon, so there might be a YouTube video out within a few days of this podcast episode dropping as well. I'm still trying to figure out what that's going to be on, because I want it to be relevant and I want it to be something that also stays relevant. The thing about real estate that's very difficult from a YouTube perspective on searchable content is that if I'm talking about the real estate market in a YouTube video and then someone sees it 3 months later, it's completely irrelevant. It has no bearing or reality to what's happening when they're watching it. So unless it's a prediction and I'm way fucking wrong, then it would be absolutely relevant. And I don't think that I would ever want to make prediction videos, but what the fuck, maybe that'll be something I do. Because real estate's fucking completely fickle. All that takes is for the economy to shift in a certain way and disposable income to shift, which happens when we have $4.50 gas prices, for one. That's another thing that contributes to the high interest rate and receding of demand in the market for real estate. But yeah, all of those things are contributing factors. And I don't want to be speaking on it and then all of those things shift on a dime and then the market's back to batshit. Because I fear, and this is the only prediction I'll make, that we will experience a time in the next year where it goes back to batshit for a minute. Because people overall have a looming fear that institutional investors are going to buy up all the properties and there's not going to be one left for them to buy when they want to do so. They're willing to take the 4.5% interest rate to make things happen. And Biden's talking about dropping $15,000 in people's pockets to buy a home, which is supposedly going to be retroactive if you bought one in 2021. I don't know any more details about that. We'll go over that probably in a video, maybe. I don't know. It's definitely something I'll go over on the short videos that I do. But thanks for tuning in from the backyard. This is the conclusion of this episode of the Offbeat Agent podcast. I love you. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel because I'm trying to get over 1,000 subscribers and I'm on my way there, but I need your help. You can go to offbeatagent.tv to subscribe. Make it real simple to get there. Or you could go to offbeatagent.com and click the YouTube icon, but offbeatagent.tv gets you to my YouTube. And I appreciate you listening, sharing this, rating it on iTunes or whatever you do to let people know that eventually this will be a good podcast they should listen to. And you have a great day because you are valuable in this world. People care about you and your contribution to other people's happiness is much greater than you think it is. So today, I want you to eat that thing you're not supposed to eat to reward yourself. And I want you to drink that thing you shouldn't be drinking to reward yourself. And if any motherfucker comes up in your atmosphere with some bullshit, tell them Offbeat Agent told you to get fucked. And have a good day. Don't gentrify my brain. Don't gentrify my brain. Don't gentrify my brain. No, don't gentrify my brain. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Offbeat Agent podcast. Just a reminder that we will start broadcasting live every Friday night at 9 p.m. And by we, I mean me and some special guests, including this Friday, August 26th, we will have Wendy Gilch, who is a real estate consumer advocate. She runs a website called SellingLaterSearch.com, which helps connect sellers and buyers directly. And also on Friday, September 2nd, we will have Rosemary Ketchum, city council member in Wheeling, West Virginia. And we're going to talk about things related to West Virginia, such as stereotypes and tropes that are tired and what can be done to move West Virginia forward. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can go to Offbeat Agent TV to do so, and I'll see you soon.